Hello, this is Mary Sutherland, your host for BUFO Paranormal and UFO Radio. You can listen to our show 24 hours a day, 7 days a week on our main site at www.burlingtonnews.net or through our syndicated show at Pioneer Radio in London, England. That is pioneer.rollo.net. Stop in at Pioneer Radio and listen to our Saturday program, which is called UFO Saturdays, which will be a compilation of not only BUFO Paranormal and UFO Radio, but various radio stations playing UFO and UFO-related shows. UFO Saturday will be played around the clock, 24 hours, so morning through night up into Sunday morning. That would be pioneer.rollo.net. And for you that don't have access to the computer, listen to yours truly, Mary Sutherland, every Friday on WJJG AM 1530 out of Chicago, as we discuss various subjects on the UFO phenomenon. Before our show starts for tonight, I would like to personally invite you to become a member of BUFO Paranormal and UFO. You can go to www.burlingtonnews.net/membership and read all about it. The membership is only $12 a year. That means $1 a month. And what you will get out of it is priceless. Not only do we have great incentives for you as a member, but remember, your membership will be used to help support us, which will really be appreciated on this end. And now for tonight's show. UFO Radio. Today we would like to welcome Ed Reichen to our show. He is the author of How's Your AQ Today? Corporations Stripped Naked. You will be able to purchase his book right here on BUFO Paranormal and UFO Radio for $14.95 plus shipping and handling, or you can go to his website www.rrpbooks.com. rrpbooks.com. Hi, Ed, how are you?
Hi, Mary, I'm just great.
And now, how's your AQ today? Now, what is AQ?
Well, AQ stands for asshole quotient, and that is a measurement of a certain relationship that develops in the corporate world. It's something we don't talk about, but in my experience over 30 years, I used to watch people and how they avoided the Peter Principle, particularly the executive. So I coined this expression, EQ, which is like an IQ, but it's a measurement of a relationship inside a corporation. And it uses that nasty word, asshole, because for some reason or other, there's a universal phenomena that has this preoccupation with this word. And it reflects how people feel about each other. And so I created this book around this AQ principle.
Interesting. And what is your book about then?
Well,
you know, for our listeners, I imagine you can explain it a lot better than I can. So
okay, the book is really a business satire, and it exposes the modern corporation based on this AQ principle. It is really meant to provoke and invoke humor, but I think that you'll find when you read it that this is so true to life that it's really quite unusual. It can make you laugh and make you cry, but it's really just an expose, which is why I say I stripped the corporations naked. And it reveals a process that you can measure and keep tabs on your relationship to other people in the company and how they feel about you, and actually use it to adjust your position in the company. There's a correlation between this number, which I call the EQ, and your position in the company, and you have to watch how they work together. Otherwise, you fall into what I call EQ disequilibrium. Now, very quickly, the AQ is a very simple measurement. It's just a, it's a measurement of those people that you feel are, quote, assholes over the total number of people in the company. So it's a number from 1 to 0. And therefore, when you first come into a company and you're new, obviously it's going to be 0 because you love everybody and you've just met them. It's a great company. But as time rolls on, you find that this measurement starts to increase because you get into conflict or you disagree with people or something happens to irritate you. And what you're doing is putting these people on a secret list, which I call the secret AQ list.
Mm-hmm.
So it slowly increases as you continue to work in a company. And I watched this very carefully over 30 years in small and large companies alike, and I watched how over a period of time this number starts to increase as you go through this conversion process. Now, some people just think it, others won't say it, others will say it, and there are various degrees of intensity that actually relates to your title. Let me give you an example.
Well, now, I have to ask this. So to be successful in your business is depends on how big of an asshole you can be?
Well,
am I understanding this right?
That's right.
When you think of management level, that is true, isn't it?
Well, let me really give you an example that hits home. Because when you're a junior in a company, you can only get away with thinking that people are assholes.
Uh-huh.
But when you get a little bit of seniority, you can actually infer it and get away with it. Now, when you become a supervisor, you're able to call people assholes and get away with it. When you become a manager, you can tell them. In fact, if you can't tell them that they're assholes, then you probably would be classified as not having the moxie to be a manager. When you become a vice president, you learn how to treat others like assholes. And the ultimate, of course, and this is why it's really a satire, but in some respects it's true, and I found this to be true. When you become the president, you have an AQ of 100, and you know what that means. That means that you yourself have to be an asshole to run the company.
So, what a cute concept.
So what I found out and created this thing called an AQ meter was that you have to be at a certain level in your measurement to correlate with your position. In other words, if you first come in and you have a very high IQ, it means essentially that you don't get along with people and you're not going to be there very long. So you're in what I call AQ disequilibrium. Your AQ is too high for your position. In the opposite case, if you're a vice president and your AQ is really low, you love people and you get along with everybody, well, when the doo-doo hits the fan, you'll find that your AQ is too low and your superiors will tell you, hey, you're too nice a guy, and we're going to have to demote you, or we're going to have to get rid of you.
Well, it's a good thing I run my own company then, huh?
That's right. So the irony is that there appears to be this correlation. That's what I play on a lot in this book, is this correlation. And how I found these executives who are the best users of this principle use an AQ or use various techniques to adjust their AQ to their position. Again, bear in mind that this is a satire, but you really see this working this way when you work for a company. And I used to watch very carefully in the boardrooms because that's where the executives spend most of their time. And typically executives, they don't know too much about technology. Like, they've lost their ability to understand technology. They've risen fairly high up in the company, and they're subject to this Peter principle where they become fairly incompetent. So they have to learn to do things a different way to protect their positions. And the book is about how they do that, how they adjust up or down their AQ to meet their position. So if it's too low, for example, then they use these various tools.
Well, I can't wait to find out what these tools are.
Well, I call these tools the AQ arsenals because they have nothing to do with business. They learn to use various techniques that ask questions about the bottom line, how to keep people at bay, how to keep the power structure on top of them so that they can't squeeze out. And it has nothing to do with their capabilities as business people. And these are the things that I identified in my book. I listed a lot of these techniques that they use, and I call them AQ arsenals. I even went so far as to form these little laws that they seem to abide by. And I formed 10 AQ laws that you find people simply abide by. And such as, for example, there exists a natural tendency within any corporation to classify another as an asshole. And whether we like it or not, we all do it, but some of us don't talk about it.
That's true.
Sooner or later, an individual will freely offer evidence to prove that he or she is an asshole. And there are other laws that I found, such as your local AQ will rise to meet its level maximum within 2 years. So it starts to get too high within 2 years as you encounter and these other people in the corporation. And you get it out of whack into what I call disequilibrium. So you have a choice. You've either got to use these tools to bring the AQ up, or get your position up, or you better move out and get into another position and lower your AQ. So this is what the book is about. What I do is I create a mock corporation of about 100 people, and I create executives. And most of these people I've known through my experience, but I have changed the name, of course, to protect the innocent. I've exaggerated their characteristics quite a bit. And given them various characteristics and show how they relate to each other and use these particular tactics to either lower or increase their position or AQ. And it's just, I've had people read it and they say, you know, Ed, this is really funny, but boy, when I think about this, this really hits home.
Yeah, yeah.
And so that's what the book is about. It is exaggeration. It uses 100 different people. I've got executives that I've created. For example, the chairman of the board is Boomer Steadfast. He's an old senile guy that controls the company. Franklin Hardass is the president. He's a very staunch, unyielding, hard person that likes to focus on things and control meetings. I've got people like Mark Mudler, who's the vice president of legal. He's a very gross man. He's got a tendency to use repulsive, gross, offensive talk and thinks he's really great. He's just absolutely terrific at confusing things, so this is his best ability in life that the company likes. And I've created these characters that I use to exemplify this process. So it's taken me a while to put it together, because when I first started writing this, I was only in the lower executive positions with a fairly major company. And I used to watch this and I tried to quantify this process because it was, I have a math degree and I have a natural tendency to try to quantify things. But when I moved on to work for IBM, which another big company in South Africa, they put a whole new dimension into this. And I thought, no, I don't think this works as I climb up the ladder. I've got to be at a presidential level, or I've got to be higher in the chain to see if this really works, if it's true all the way up. So I followed this up into the executive and into a chairman position and as a director and finally an owner of my own company and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, I found that it didn't matter. The AQ, no matter how big the company was or how small it was or how many people were engaged in that business, it all worked the same way.
It's like a pecking order.
Yes. And it's all related to this silly thing, this feeling that we have about the other individual. And when we put somebody on that list, whether we treat them like an asshole or we say they are or we disagree with them, once you put them on your list, you can't remove them. That's the rule of this AQ.
Now, so if enough people have this person on their list as an asshole, does that give them more security with their job?
Well, it depends what your position is in the company. For example,
because I know this one guy that my husband works for, and he is. I hope he's not listening to this. But, heck, I think he's proud of the fact that he is an asshole. You know, and everybody goes around saying, hey, you know, the guy's a real jerk. But, I mean, he's managed, like you said, he's managed to get right to the very top of the rung, you know. And it's like everybody sits back thinking, how in the heck did he do that with his attitude, you know?
Well, that's right. And that's what used to really perplex me, because I would be there just working away, trying to be so good at what I was doing, and I would see these guys, some were absolute jerks.
Yeah.
Some were smart, some weren't. Others were absolutely, totally incompetent. Other guys were very professional. And yet, you look at what happened to them. Some would really fail badly. Others would succeed. And I thought, well, what's going on here? How come some of these guys get promoted and others don't? So, I started to study this, and I found this so true, that there's this universal preoccupation with this word asshole and how it's applied. And when you are a manager or a vice president, if the company is making a lot of money and everything's rosy, it doesn't matter too much. But when the trouble hits the fan, this is where you find that you have to be tough. You have to do this. That's how your superiors judge you. And you have to treat people badly. You treat them like assholes, unfortunately. And as long as we all walk around saying, oh, no, we don't do that. We're good guys, and we treat everybody equitably, and we're nice to them and trying to help them. But that's just a load of crap, because when the trouble hits, if you don't know how to fire people and belittle them, you got a problem.
Yeah.
And so the people that learn how to do this well climb to the top very rapidly. And it's unfortunate, but it's very true. We don't like to...
When I had the Phoenician magazine down in Arizona, I had this business manager that worked for me. And he used to tell me, he says, because I had a full staff of salespeople at that time, and that was his job, was running. You know, taking care of them, you know, making sure that they made me enough money. And he'd tell me, he says, you keep your salespeople hungry. Never give them enough money.
Mm-hmm.
You know, always make them where they're hungry, where they want to, you know, go out there and make commission sales. The more commission sales they make, the more money you'll make. And I used to think to myself, God, he's such an asshole. Because, he used to treat, because, well, of course, that was his job. That way I didn't have to be that way, right?
you know. Right. And so, you know, like I would just kind of like sit back in my office, you know, and ignore what was going on. And he would go in there and these salespeople would come in. They say, well, we made all this type of money today. And he'd look at them and he'd look at how much money they made. And he says, well, you should have made twice as much.
Right.
You know. And these people, they'd just walk away like almost in tears.
Yes.
But that was his job. And it's like, even me, I'd look at it and think, God, this guy is such an asshole. I didn't want nothing to do with him myself. You know, but...
We all do it.
Yeah.
And
like, you know, you said, management, you know, pays dearly, you know, for those type of people, you know, to... do that job because they don't really want to do it themselves.
Well, here's an example of how a vice president can create a tremendous number of assholes very quickly. All he has to do is send out a memo that says that we are cutting our coffee break by 30%. Guess what he's done? He's just treated the whole company like a bunch of assholes.
Yeah.
And they do it all the time. They don't realize it. And what is really, what I found so unusual about this is that when people, there's a thing called, what I call, asshole saturation. And that's a situation where everybody thinks everybody else is an asshole. And that is the most unproductive company that you could ever imagine because they are so busy thinking that the other guy doesn't know what he's talking about. They have no intention of listening to him or doing anything that's productive.
Yeah.
And the government is probably the best example of that. It doesn't matter whether they make money or not. They have their positions, they protect them, and they can be totally incompetent. And they can have this saturation situation where they become totally unproductive. But what I also found was that this is a reciprocal thing. There's a law that says that it's reciprocal in motion, so that if you walk around thinking or inferring that somebody else is an asshole, you better believe that those people are going to pick up on that, and they are going to convert you into one as well. So it becomes reciprocal in motion, and that's how this saturation takes place.
So what you think? So what you think? Therefore, you are. So if you're thinking they're assholes, it makes you an asshole.
Exactly. And so I have, like it is done in humor, and I exaggerate the characters.
Well, like you said, it's a satire book, and I see that you have like there's phases, six AQ phases. One, he began to think that some coworkers were assholes. Two, he started to infer that others were assholes.
Right.
Three, he gained courage to call others assholes at first indirectly. Four, he began to tell people that they were assholes. Five, he started to treat people as assholes, most of which were, or which was indirect. And six, he knew he had to be an asshole himself in order to succeed.
Right.
Wow.
And so that's how I related the AQ number to the position. And because at each one of those levels, you should be either a supervisor or a manager or a vice president. And if you're not, you better adjust it because you're in disequilibrium.
Okay, wait. Well, on page 34, you have an asshole meter.
Right.
Let's see if I can read this meter right. From 0 to 40... All right, on the asshole meter would be workers,
right,
and lower reaches,
right,
and then from I guess what would be 45, about 40 up, so 40 would be kind of like borderline, so 40 up to 80 is doers and middle management, and then from 80 up to 100. On the asshole meter would make you a decision maker and upper echelon.
Right.
Which would be the vice president and presidency.
Correct.
And then the doers, middle management, which would be directors, manager, and supervisors. And then the workers would be the lower on the lower range of your asshole meters would be senior, intermed, junior, and nobodies.
Right.
Or they think that they're nobodies.
Right. And so, in a different section, it shows you how to. Well, there's a simple way to calculate it. Of course, is just count up. Just take a list of the people in the company, and you put a check mark beside the people that you think or feel they're assholes, and you count them and calculate the percent, and that's your EQ. And have a look at the AQ meter, and that'll tell you whether you're too high or too low.
Well, you know, I don't really consider myself an asshole, but I've got my own business, and as you can see, BUFO Radio is a very, very popular radio show. But by rights, I should just be a worker.
You should.
Yeah.
Right. So you're just such an unusual case.
Yeah, but people don't know. Maybe my inner self really is an asshole, huh? I just haven't showed that part of myself.
Okay, but just think about the people that you sort of work with. Perhaps you have suppliers or vendors or outside people that give you other services.
Uh-huh.
And you deal with those people.
Yes.
Now, sometimes you probably find you have to be pretty aggressive with them.
Yes, that's true.
You may have to be a bit of an asshole once in a while just to get something done with these people.
Well, I'm not afraid to stand up for what I believe in.
Well, there you go. Well, somebody you may have to treat them a certain way, and that'll put them on your AQ list.
Mm-hmm. And then, of course, then there's my competition.
Of course.
Well, now, I'm sure that they think I'm an asshole, right? I have to be.
But I'll tell you what it does do is it sort of makes you think about your relationships to others, and that's what it's supposed to do here, is to provoke some humor and try to loosen up a little bit of humor in a corporation, because God knows it's tough enough in that kind of climate, too.
Well, your book is 155 pages long.
Well, actually, when I wrote this, I wrote over a period of probably 15 years. I continued to compile this as I moved up the ladder, and I wrote a volume that's twice the size. I decided to split it because what I wanted to do was to create what I call the AQ MBA, which is short for MBA being short for Management by Assholes.
Uh-huh.
And reveal all of the tactics that these arsenals incorporate.
Mm-hmm.
Really detail all of the silly little things that people do at the executive level to what I suggest is adjusting their AQ, and then go to the management level and see what the best people or the most successful people use there. Then go to the supervisory level, these three levels that you just mentioned in this picture,
mm-hmm.
and identify what those tactics were. They're really very funny, and you've probably seen them yourself when you're sitting in exec meetings with people, and they're just they're always used. And that second book, that second volume, I decided to split away from this one because they're just too much. I wanted to get this idea out and share it, because the people that I talk about it, they think it's really funny.
Uh-huh.
And then they sit and think about it and they say, you know, Ed, this is pretty close to home.
It really is. Now, you have you've characterized these different types of assholes. You have Scooter Blastoff,
yeah.
Oscar Ostrich, Let's see, Eric Van Shithead, Donna Ding Dong. Yeah.
I've exaggerated these people's characteristics, and maybe some in a few places I've gone a little bit too far, but the name reflects...
Only if you would have used the real identity of the people that you were talking about.
Right. But these are really fictional characteristics. Most of the people that I met weren't this bad, but some of them came close. I did exaggerate it to make a point and try to bring a bit of humor and light into it.
Uh-huh.
So I created a whole corporation of 100 people. There's actually a whole directory.
Yeah.
In the book.
Yeah, you got the decision makers as Franklin P. Hardass, Agnes Steadfast, Scab Dancer, and Merck D. Muddler, Flash Spreadsheet, Herbert Hoyle, Slink Whirlwind, and all, I'm sorry, and then we're going to a Scooter Blast Off again.
And you'll probably, what I find is that people read these and they say, you know, I've known a guy just like that in a company that I've worked for. So.
Well, I like that Randolph Snooper. Randolph is the director of personnel. He is a kite. These birds are noted for being very swift at stealing from others. They also have a slick appearance. Randolph is one of the slickest, cunning backbiters around. He is concerned with one and only one thing, himself. Randolph got to be the director because he was bummer, steadfast, personal clerk for 25 years. He had simply outlived everyone in personnel, and he was indirectly blackballed any others that appeared to be a threat.
So these characters exist, and what I found was so amazing, they continue to protect themselves in their positions, and they stay there.
Mm-hmm.
Some, of course, fall from grace, but others, the more clever ones, manage to stay there, despite the fact that they're totally incompetent, and they have such, some of them have such ugly personalities that it's just unbelievable.
Well, Well, you remember that movie? But reading your book reminds me of that movie, 9 to 5. Remember the secretaries?
Yes.
And the asshole boss that took all of their ideas, all their hard work, and let the management think that it was all his. And he clung to the top of the executive ladder off the hard work of all of his secretaries. Mm-hmm. And he treated them like shit.
Yeah.
And then eventually they got even with him. But basically, that's what I thought of when I was looking through your book, you know, pretty much I think that these people had about the same idea of how the asshole system works.
Yes, and they walk around in their pretty suits and pretending that they're such great people and have taken all this management training, blah, 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 and it so many times just turns out to be a big facade. There are degrees posted on the wall. The guys haven't got a clue about anything that they learned 20, 30 years ago. And then, they unfortunately, the business world is such that these people do have to survive. And they can't do it technically. They've forgotten what they had originally been trained for. They aren't even management anymore because the techniques are outdated. And they have to learn other techniques to protect their positions.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really what the book is all about. How do you do that?
Do you know...
When you're incompetent.
You know, Ed, every year, the company that my husband works for, of course, my husband, he's one of the most liked people there. You know, if you knew him, you'd understand why. But anyhow, he's worked for the company for like 30 years. But like once a year, they have a foreman's meeting. And so all the foremans, and they have like, they build homes, and it is the largest home builders there is in the Midwest. And Brad usually ends up as Foreman of the Year award every year. But anyhow, once a year they get together, and they discuss different things. And I've decided, after looking at your book, what I'm going to do is send this book down with Brad to the foreman's meeting, and Brad can give it to the general manager as a gift from me. I swear that, I mean, this book is a must for everyone to be able to have, if not to just read and have a good time with it, but if you've got an asshole out there and you want to kind of like drop a hint, get this book and send it to them, because this book is cute.
But it also says, you know, people lighten up a little bit, because...
Oh, sure.
It's too intense out there.
Exactly. Yeah, well, that's what satire is all about. You know, it is to take the worst of something and make light of it. Try to find something good, good out of it.
I actually tested the book on an executive. He was a CEO of Challenge Entertainment Corp up here in Vancouver, and I said, and he read it, and. He just scratched his head. He said, "You know, Ed, this is so true." I said, "Jim, why don't you write me a little review, just about a three-liner?" And this is what the guy said. He said, "How's your AQ today sets the stage for a great read. No one is exempt from Ryken's inky dagger as he graphically tells us why many businesses and business people suffocate and lose their humanity. From the lowest man or woman on the totem pole to the top of the heap, Ryken's book invokes us with the thought and question, are we all just a bunch of assholes? With his telltale scenarios, cartoons, and some real-life corporate experiences, Ryken informs and entertains us while he bears the backside of the corporate world, a must-read." And I thought, as an executive, whom I'm really picking on this book, I thought that was a pretty good compliment.
Well, sure.
So
you can't help but not like your book, Ed.
Good.
You know, it's a great book. You know, it helps. It puts laughter back into a bad situation.
Yes. Yes.
And God knows, I think, especially with what is going on in the world today right now with the economy, people having, you know, cutbacks, you know, in businesses, not only, you know, people having to cut back on the employment line, but cut back on wages, you know, all the bonuses, different incentives, you know, they need something like this to kind of help them get through it.
Well, and yes, it's very difficult.
Yeah.
And you get into these social conflicts that have nothing to do with just how smart or productive you are.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very sad. So yeah, people need some light humor, and that's why I decided to put this out, because I thought it was light humor, and so far everybody that's read it has agreed with me.
Uh-huh. And personally, I think every high-level management should have at least one of your books.
Well, they'll be
You know, just as a coffee table book, personally, for their break room.
and that's what prompted me to the title. And the title is, How is Your AQ Today? Think about it when you go to work. How is it?
Yeah.
And it makes you sit and think, because you shouldn't be going around treating people like assholes and...
Uh-huh.
And doing this kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
We do it automatically without even thinking, and it's just not good. So hopefully I can bring a new light into this corporate world.
Yeah. Well, I think you're doing a darn good job of it. It's a unique book. Very unique.
Well, it seems that nobody really wants to talk about that word, so I thought, well, it's time, because we all use it.
Sure. If we're not using it, we're thinking it, right?
Right.
And why be a hypocrite? Now, you can find your book at www.rrpbooks.com. $14.95 shipping and handling additional. And the book, the name of the book is How's Your AQ Today? Corporation Stripped Naked. We're speaking with Ed Reichem. And you're from Canada, right?
Yeah.
Why go anywhere else when we have it all right here for you under one station? And that station is Pioneer Radio out of London, England. The URL is pioneer.rollo, R-O-L-O, .net. BUFO Paranormal and UFO Radio is proud to be part of the team that works with Pioneer Radio in providing you some of the best entertainment around. It not only has UFO and paranormal radio shows, but put a little spice in it. Pioneer has added space, conspiracies, and now coming soon will be even a comedy show. Just like my store, Little Bits, Pioneer now has a little bit of everything in place 24 hours a day. Yes, you heard me right. Pioneer Radio out of London, England features shows now around the clock. I know this type of scheduling really works great for me, being that I'm one of those night owls, like my station, Angel of the Night. So whether it be 1 o'clock in the afternoon or 1 o'clock in the morning, you will now be able to catch one of your favorite topics playing on Pioneer. And to find the schedule for BUFO, Paranormal, and UFO Radio, just go to pioneer.rollo.net/schedule. Or pioneer.rollo.net and then click on schedule. Not only does BUFO Radio have our paranormal and UFO show going through Pioneer live streamed, but we're also live streaming Angel of the Night as well as our one of our very popular shows, Believe in the Magic. And just go to the schedule, click it on and look up BUFO Paranormal and UFO Radio, Angel of the Night, and Believe in the Magic for the times. And then that's all there is. After that, you just click listen to and sit back and enjoy some great programs. What puts this radio station above the rest is that you have a group of team players here that have all come together to spread the word of truth and have some fun doing it. So come join the gang in the Pioneer chat room. Get to know all of us. Ask questions, share your feelings on topics, or just hang out and read the posts as they come through. It's great fun, and it actually can become quite addicting. So not only are you, again, able to listen to the show, but you're able to come on in to their chat room and actually be able to talk to the various listeners as well as some of the hosts that are on the show. Speaking about interacting, because we are now live streaming through Pioneer Radio, you'll be able to call us, ask questions right over the show, and be able to speak with our guests, as well as you will be able to send us an email, and we'll be able to answer that email as it comes. To learn how to interact with BUFO Paranormal Radio, just go to burlingtonnews.net/pioneer, P-I-O-N-E-E-R. That will take you in and explain to you about Pioneer and BUFO Radio and the different shows that are going to be broadcasted through Pioneer. It will explain a little bit more about live streaming and how that you'll be able to interact, how to listen to the show, how to get to the chat rooms. There's a telephone number in there as well as how to reach BUFO Radio for being able to talk to myself, the host, Mary Sutherland, as well as the guests that we'll have there. You know, success begins and ends with you. The media has been censored and entertainment controlled for so long. Here is your chance to turn that around. Through your participation and willingness to promote what we are doing, we all stand a chance to get the truth out and give back to you the type of entertainment you want, not what someone else wants for you. So listen to us every day. Bookmark Pioneer and have the show put into your list of favorites, as well as BUFO Paranormal and UFO Radio. And I want to thank everyone for dropping in, and I appreciate all the support that you have given BUFO Paranormal and UFO Radio. You are a great bunch of listeners. And you can find us at either Pioneer as well as BurlingtonNews.net. That's BurlingtonNews.net.
Want the knowledge? YNPatron.com's there. Follow your dreams and have no fear. Collect your thoughts. The path is still here. Night rule is coming every 3,600 years. This is contact. Starship stunning, the gods are right here.
Collective Thoughts by Infotron.com.
The Matrix is everywhere. It is all around us. Even now, in this very room, you can see it when you look out your window or when you turn on your television. You can feel it when you go to work, when you go to church, when you pay your taxes. It is the world that has been pulled over your eyes to blind you from the truth.
Well, that's our show for tonight, folks. This is Mary Sutherland, BUFO Paranormal and UFO Radio, reminding you to keep your eyes to the sky and your mind open to the possibilities. We also would like to thank you for making us the number one UFO and paranormal radio show out here. Thank you for listening to us, and please remind your friends about our show and invite them to stop in and listen to some of our great programs as well.
I bid you good night, good night, good night, good night, good night. I bid you good night, good night, good night.